Chapter 21. Amen. The cares of this life is what God's laid on our heart. Lord, I thought sure I was going to get to preach out of Isaiah, good old Holy Ghost message this morning, but God has changed it. I guess we sat 3 or 4 hours yesterday, said after the funeral. You know, times are crucial. Time is running out, and there's evil on every hand, in every direction that we go. And we kind of, I preached there, touched on it Wednesday night, maybe out of Matthew, where Satan got advantage of us when we're not faithful and when we don't forgive and when we sull up and when we bull up against each other. And too many times we try to stop the service if we ain't careful, if it don't suit us, amen. But there might be somebody that understands the Word of God a little bit different than you, because he said it's not of any private interpretation. So I don't need to bull up and sull up against the Word of God unless it's totally against the Word of God. If they're preaching against the Word of God, I don't need to have it. I don't need to accept it. I'm going to read I read this yesterday and I need to read it again this morning. But over in Ecclesiastes, and it is the King James Version, so we'll read it and go right straight to Luke. Ecclesiastes about the ninth chapter and 11th and 12th verse. And he said, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and change happens to them all. Old Solomon was a sharp man. Old Solomon understood life, and he understood where he had it all and understood where it all went away. And he understood what had happened in this time. And we go to the 12th verse, and it said, "For man also knoweth not his time." So we don't know when our time is. We just need to be in God's will. And he said, "As the fishes that are taken in an evil net." As the fishes are taken in a net, and the fishes don't realize that they're fixing to be caught. And you know, even the fish, as you throw the hook into the water, and the fish don't realize it's just wanting to feed itself, and it don't realize that it's going to be snared or hooked. And too many times, let's read what the Word of God said. "And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." You know, when it comes upon us suddenly and we don't realize, so I can't boast myself of tomorrow. I can't boast myself of what will happen this evening. I can't knock somebody else down and say that I won't be in the same shape. It's only by the mercy and the grace of God that we can stand today. It's only by the mercy of God. And if God stops my heart now, I'm done. I fall over and my time is finished. Amen. And according to what I've lived and how I've lived is how I'll stand before God. And it's not what people think of me. If it was, I'd never made it this far. And we're not liked too many times by people. And sometimes we're not, the message is not liked by people because we want to do what we want to do. And I've never seen a time after 51 years of trying to serve the Lord when people are so arrogant, when people are so rude to the Word of God, so rude to the house of God, when people are so rude, even in funerals, in services, that memorials, that where this could be the last time that you would ever get to speak to that family, when they're sitting there and they may never be back in church and they're hurt, their hearts are broken. And I thought how we don't help the Spirit of God and how we don't work with the Spirit of God, how we try to take over because we understand and know everything that's going on. But I thought, he said, man is just like the fishes, as the evil times come upon us, we're snared and don't even realize that we're snared. And I thought talking to the old preacher this week, and I love to talk to the old preachers, and Brother Rayton Puckett there, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I talked to him just a minute there, and how times has changed, even at Mount Vernon Church, when the old block church was down on the hill there, and how people sit outside and listen to the Word of God, and people come to revival. You know why? Because they didn't have TVs and they didn't have other places to go. They couldn't run all over the country. They wasn't playing ball every day and every night and every Sunday. They wasn't doing all the things of the world. They had time to serve God. And I can remember old Glenn Killen many times, and we could hear him. And my dad-in-law mentioned, he said, I hear him up there praying up on Saddle Mountain. He'd come out on the side of the mountain, and when the lyre was just exactly right, amen, glory to God, you could hear him praying down here in Low Gap. You could hear him up there around my house where I live now. You could hear him praying. He's wanting revival to break out. He is concerned about his young'uns. He had his young'uns that were headed to a devil's hell. I knew some of them. I run around with some of them. I fought with some of them. I knew the direction that they were going. And this old man cared about his church. And the church, many times we'd seen it up on the mountain. We'd see it full, everything that we could stay in it. And we was up in a funeral just the other day, and there's like 15 on their board as of what they had. And it used to be that they were standing outside looking in. And I thought about in Jamaica when they didn't have cars, and there was one old van that hauled us and one more man that had a car that come to the church in Jamaica, and the church was almost as big as this. And honey, and they were a little slow coming in. Some of them took a little time to get there. But the place was full, glory to God. And they'd come straight to the altar and pray that God would move upon the scene. And I'm going to tell you what's on our church mind today. Where are we going to eat, or what are we going to do this evening? Oh Lord, we're going to have to go to church tonight. We think we're going to live forever. We're even planning what we're going to do for Monday and Tuesday. Honey, today there might be somebody sitting in the house of God that's never been saved, and this could be the last time that they ever had a chance to hear the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, every service is important. No matter if I'm preaching or somebody else is preaching, the Word of God will go out, and the Bible said the Word of God won't return void. Honey, but there's a time that we don't understand, and there's a time for everything. Honey, but that time is going to run out. I thought about Miss Christie's 50 years old. Time run out short. And I can't die young if my time run out today. But honey, am I right with God? Have I done everything that I could do for God? Have I stood at the funerals and preached the Holy Word of God? Have I tried to do God's work and preach people into heaven or to hell, or to say that they wasn't right with God, or they were angels of God? That ain't my job today. What I need to do is preach the Holy Word of God. But we've let the cares of this world, this is the message God has laid on our heart. We've let the cares of this old world separate us from God. We've let the cares of this world separate us from caring about our neighbor. And I can remember when my mom was sick, and I was just a little bitty fella, even before Butch was born. And I can remember mama sick, and I can remember some of the neighbors would come in, and they called it some kind of concoction to try to build mama up. They'd give her eggs and eggnog and make her up a drink and bring to her and give her, try to get her health back and get her back on her feet. I'm going to tell you, we don't have time today. Amen, church. We don't have time to help somebody out of the ditch today. We don't have time to stop and help somebody that's got a flat tire on the road. We've lost our compassion, Roger. We don't care about people like we one time did. I thought, Terry, when we was building our house, we tried to build it ourselves. And some of the men come, and some of the men said, we'll give you a day. I'm going to give you a day on your house. And I said, some of them was pretty good carpenters. I said, will you let me pick the day? So when you come, maybe we put up rafters or got better carpenters. Oh, Don Lowe, come up here and help me. And I aggravated Don. I said, Don, I ain't going to charge you a thing in the world today for all the skills and all the things you've learned. Got to be around me and maybe Oscar and Bobby Edwards, all them fine people. Wasn't going to charge him nothing for it. Hey, amen. I appreciate what Don done for me. Back then, we had a little time to take off. But can I ask you, where's your Saturdays at today? Where is our time at today? Where's our Mondays at today? I used to, I could have a rainy day when I was laying brick and I'd go visit somebody. Today, a rainy day, I don't want to do nothing, amen. I'm just too stinking lazy, amen, to get up and to go. What, we have lost compassion. Satan has come in and snared us because we fell out of fellowship with Freddie. We fell out of fellowship with one another. We've quit forgiving one another that talked about us. We pulled back in our little shell and we decided, let them make it. I'm going to make it on my own. I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of carrying the word. I'm tired of running to funerals here, and I'm tired of running over yonder. I'm give out. I'm just going to do my thing. What does God want us to do, honey? I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life that I didn't know God. And what if he'd have been off duty? What if he'd have been on the foreign battlefield? What if he'd have been somewhere else playing games when I called up on him about midnight on the first day of April 1968? I'm going to tell you, my God showed up. He saved my soul. He saved an old drunk with alcohol on his breath. Glory to God, he picked me up and set me on a solid rock. So I'm his today. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I can't go where I want to go. I can't do what I want to do. I can't be led by my children. I've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. What's wrong today? The Spirit of God is not first in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We know where we're at. And it's the old net. Internet to some. But his old net has come in and caught us. Some of us are so important, you got your phone on right now. You got your, God help you, if you got to answer your phone in church. God help you. If you are that important. If I'm not that important myself. Mine's laying out there chilling in the cold air.
Yes, sir, bud.
That's what it needs to be. But think about it. I remember Eldridge World asked. They were expecting a call from Chapel Hill for Miss Helen. He said, can I leave my phone on? Can I leave my phone on? In case they call, I don't want to miss it. I remember James got a call after he left church one time. Got a call to go. And we've got things to do, but what did we do without them? How many hours has been spent on our jobs? We'll just say quality meal. How many hours has been wasted where people had to talk on their phone? The state of North Carolina.
Tell me now.
The state of North Carolina.
Tell me now what would happen.
Yeah. When they had to pull their phone out and talk, and you had the road blocked on 30 people. Think about today. We've not put our priorities in place. Let's read what the Word of God said in the 21st chapter of St. Luke. And the Bible said in the 34th verse of the 21st chapter, take heed to yourselves, not to me, but take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged. That our hearts be not overcharged or weighted down. Our hearts are weighted down, church. We have been overcharged. We're trying to take on more than we can do till we're leaving something undone. I talked to Bob Moody yesterday, and I said, Bob, I heard it on the news, on a brief on TV, and it said, stress will make you white-headed. And Bob's like me, he's getting white-headed fast. He said, if I've ever heard the truth, that's it. Stress will make you white-headed. But think about the stress. I can remember when Grandpa would come out of the field over in Round Peak, Grandma would have lunch for him. And sometimes he'd take an hour and a half to 2 hour break out of the orchard or out of the cornfield. And I can remember him doing it. So what was the stress there? The corn would be in the field when we got back. The weeds would be there that we could plow. Some of you remember what I'm talking about. But today we can't even sit down and eat a meal without answering the phone. Hello? And we wonder what's happening to us. The Bible said that men's hearts failed him for fear. We're afraid today. We're afraid that we won't fit in. Our children are afraid today, and they're under what they call it, peer pressure. Our teenagers are under peer pressure. If you don't do drugs, if you don't fit in with this, if you don't cuss a little bit, if you don't have a fine car, if you ain't the best ball player, peer pressure, honey. Glory to God, and it's killing us. Amen. It's killing us today. You cannot have your mind on God and on the world. Amen?
Amen.
It won't work. You can't be in two places at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon. The Bible plainly teaches that, Johnny. We can't do it. But today we're so wrapped up, we get a verse of God, and then a whole chapter of the world, and then another verse of God, and a whole chapter of the world. Amen? Very seldom do I sit down to read the Word of God that the phone don't ring. Something to take our mind away. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering. That's overindulging, my friend, in food or in the things of the world. Are we not overindulging? How many of y'all have got a job that work 40 hours a week, and then on the weekend you've got to go play with the kids, you've got to go run the kids here, you've got to run this one yonder? I thought about my son at 56 years old. If I would listen and follow every step that he wanted me to take him, I'd never have a time for nothing. Never have a time for nothing. Even come in this morning, when I went to the altar to pray about 7 o'clock and followed me back in the house, said, what are you going to do today, Dad? Bless God, it's Sunday. We don't even know what day it is. I ain't the only one that's got them like that. You got them like that. I'm telling you, them at one time sitting in the house of God at Mount Vernon has heard the Word of God. Amen. And they're back out in the world doing what they want to do. And they're sitting there. Christy told me hundreds of times, I'm ashamed to come back. I'm not happy where I'm at. The best place to not get there is don't go there. The best place to stay out of sin is don't go there. The best way to stay happy is to stay in the house of God. Randy, you know without a shadow of a doubt, the only place that we find peace is in the will of God. To be in the will of God, I've got to be in the house of God. To be in the house of God, I've got to love my brothers and my sisters. I've got to have compassion on my weaker brother. I've got to thank God for my stronger brother. I've got to love them that are in trouble. They may do me wrong because they're going to wake up one day and realize they were wrong and give them a space to repent. Repent. Glory to God, we need Jesus today.
Amen.
We need Jesus today. We need Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seen a lady yesterday, and I'd never met her, and she said, I've never heard you preach from another church. She said, me and my friend wanted to hear you. Said they told me you wasn't quiet and you'd run the aisles. Said, our preacher don't do that. That's all right, as long as he gets the word across. I just ain't never been one that could be still and preach. Amen. 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 But I have maybe in a wheelchair. Boy, I love you. Amen. Maybe in a wheelchair one day and can't move fast. But I need to preach the same gospel. I need to preach. I need to be more like Don Collins when I'm down and in the rest home, hurting and pain. I need to holler, woo! I need to holler, thank you, Jesus,
amen,
for all the years God has given me when I was able to go, able to praise him. All the times that I muttered and mumbled when I didn't have no pain and didn't want to go. The 26 years I wasted in the world when I could have served God. The trouble that I could have stayed out of if I'd have listened to God. And he said, for the suffering of and darkness, drunkenness, he said, drunkenness, suffering and drunkenness, and cares of this life. And I thought about, alcohol ain't the only thing that'll make you drunk.
That's right.
Alcohol ain't the only thing that'll alter your mind. And drugs ain't the only thing that'll alter your mind. My friend, you can let your mind get caught up in pornography. You let your mind get caught up in making money. You can let your mind get caught up in many things. And finally we become drunk. And when we become drunk, then we're a limber. We're not functional. We're not where God wants us to be. Just like an old drunk that drank liquor and finally fell in the ditch, amen. Because I drank too much. And I ended up in the ditch, woke up in a low gap mountain, laying in the ditch, wondering how I got there. Today we're doing the same thing and ain't drinking liquor, but we're taking in the things and it's filling up our mind with junk till we don't understand what God is saying to us. Honey, hell is an awful, awful place. Nobody wants to go to that place, but everybody is deceived that we are all right. We're going to make it into the kingdom of God. Surely God ain't going to send me to hell. God ain't going to send you to hell, but if you reject him, he cut Israel off. He cut Judea off. He will cut low gap off. Amen. If we don't want to serve him.
Amen.
If we don't want to serve him. My friend, this thing's important today.
Amen.
And he said in the 35th verse, for as a snare. Let me read the rest of that other one. I didn't read it all. And drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that they come upon us unawares. That they come upon us unawares. We're not expecting it. And I thought about my friend up on the mountain. I don't know what he knew, but 70 years old, but nobody expected him to die because he hadn't been sick. He hadn't been to the doctor that nobody knew about. I thought about talking to little Leah. I can't believe mama is dead. I can't believe it's gone. I can't believe it's happened. And I talked to Levi after the service. And he said, you know, I could have went by and told her I loved her more. Wonder why he didn't. I'm going to tell you why he didn't. He didn't mean to. But the cares of this world slipped in on us unawares. Slipped in on us and we said we had another day. We have another hour. That's one of the greatest tricks Satan's got. Telling us we've got another day. He told me almost every day that I had another day. Go ahead and have fun. You can get saved tomorrow or the next preaching service. You're a young man. Go ahead and serve. Enjoy what you want to do because you're young. You got time. He's telling you all that. Have you got a promise? Anybody's got a promise of living tomorrow? Would you get up and come up here and hug my neck? Would you? Because you got a contact with God that I don't have. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. I don't have the promise of another heartbeat. I don't have the promise of my blood pumping through my heart one more ounce. I don't have the promise of another breath. I do have the promise. If I die today, I got eternal life. I've got a promise in God's word. If I'll serve him, I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm about to run out the back door. Can I tell you something? Are there some promises in God's holy word that I can take to the bank? I can cash in when the devil tells me I ain't going to make it. When he tells me I'm sick, when things are falling apart. Glory to God, I can take it to the bank. And I say, look here, devil. I'm a child of the living God. But you're sick and you got problems at your home. You're not handling well, and I know, but God's taking care of them. Devil, I've been born again by the marvelous grace of God. I find the more I take a stand, the more Satan hates me. Hey, man, I see little obstacles in my way in every direction. Greg, but God's grace is sufficient. I see little things that I've never seen before happening in my life these last few years. But I praise God. I know I got a better place to go. I find, and I thought about Jeff Castle's going to need our prayer. You know, Jeff's one of them that's wide open, and he can go and shout and moderate a service and get everything stirred. But it's his heart. I talked to him this week. It's his heart. It's me that's going to be shut down. It's me that had plans to go here and plans to fix this. It's me that's going to be down with my chest split open. And I can't shout and I can't raise my arms. And I can't holler, woo! It's me. Can I tell you today, honey, we better be shouting while we got time. We better be shouting while we got it. We need to be praising God while he's still blessing us. I see without a shadow of a doubt the Spirit of God is leaving America. I read this week, and I'd have to hunt it. But it said, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Till the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Neighbor, I believe the time of the Gentiles is about fulfilled. Yeah, I believe the Spirit is beginning to work its way back, and God can do it like that. But I believe it's beginning to work back towards His people. I believe He's preparing His people. And I believe He's prepared America to fight the battle, and we won't pick up the armor. We won't pick up the sword of God. And He said, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Does that make you exempt? He said, "As a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." He said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now you tell me that one that tells you they've been saved, their name's on the church book and they've been baptized, and they're drunk today, they're in a hangover today, and you tell me they're worthy to escape these things? I'm going to tell you, somebody's missed the Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody's missed what the Word of God is saying. Somebody has exalted their self, and Satan's got a trick, honey, to exalt you till you think you can't fall.
Amen.
I remember the lady up in Logap, and she said, "I thought I was living so close that my daughter wouldn't leave her husband and run off with another man." How deceived that I think I'm living so close that trouble won't come to my house. I need to move up. I ain't living that close. I need to move up.
Amen.
I need to stand where God wants me to stand. He said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out in a boat, or he slept in the mount of that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. What if we just decided all of a sudden to raise the time of the church, to just raise the time of Sunday school to be at 6 o'clock in the morning and preaching at 7 o'clock? I wonder how many of us would be here. And I know some preachers over the road that had a small church, and they decided, these that wanted to play golf. I sat down in the Ford place there with Brother Goff and another one there and talked to them about it. And they said, "We like to go to the early service so we can go play golf on Sunday evening." So us preachers just fix it so they can come on and justify themselves and go do what they want to do. I'm going to tell you, Sunday morning and Sunday evening both are the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. The seventh day is the Sabbath day. If you keep it on Saturday, praise the Lord. But the day that you set aside is the Sabbath day. And we need to keep it holy, glory to God. We need to do too many things that God said for us not to do. We wonder why our churches are in the shape that we're in today. It's because we've not set an example. It's because we've been afraid that mom and daddy get mad if we said anything to young us. Hello?
Hello?
We're afraid we're going to lose a member. A member that's pouting or ain't forgiving ain't a member no way. They're just filling seats. They ain't praying. They can't pray because they ain't forgiven.
That's right, bro.
You can't pray. If I don't forgive Johnny, I can't pray. I can't ask for forgiveness till I forgive Johnny. I've got to forgive my brother and my sister, or I can't be forgiven. That's the Word of God. So why ain't we shouting the house down this morning? Why ain't we praising God this morning? Why ain't we giving God all the praise and the honor and the glory for what He's done for us this morning? Why? Are we not recognizing what God done for us?
Come on, man, bro.
For just a moment of silence. For just a moment of silence. Look back to where you was at when the Lord said.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That ought to do you good.
Bless the Lord.
Are we thankful enough?
Come on.
I was dying.
Come on, bro.
Going to this everlasting eternal hell where I couldn't die. Where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Where there's never no end. Where there's no back door. And
And God saved me.
Thank you, Lord.
Give me opportunity.
Amen.
To sober up and come to the house of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And testify I got saved.
Amen.
How have I lived before them? How have I lived before them? After I testified to them.
Yeah.
I thought we had one in the state. Come to the state and he said, I want to tell y'all something. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me today. I got saved yesterday. I wanted to tell everybody. You never quit cussing? Seen him on the road. He's still drinking his beer. We're making mockery of the house of God. When God saves you, so there'll be a change in your life. You can go back. You can go back. But you need to repent. We need to repent today. And he said, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. We'll read right here. It says, John 14 and 6 said, Jesus said unto him, I didn't know where I'm at. Luke 8 and 14. I need to turn over. Luke 8 and 14. And he said, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares of the riches and the pleasures of this life in bringing fruit to perfection. Did we get that? Let me read it one more time. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard it, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. I don't mean to make you mad, and I love vacation. I need to go on vacation. And I need to say this. I need to say this plain. But I hear too much exalting vacation and not enough exalting God. I hear too much exalting pleasure. And oh, how we love this and oh, how we love that. But we don't exalt God. Come on, church. I'm telling the truth. You can't get mad at me and go to heaven. I'm telling us the truth. He said right here, he said they fall on, heard and go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasure of this life and bring forth no fruit. Come on, church, bring forth no fruit. So why are people not being saved today? We're not bringing forth no fruit. If everybody in this church would pick out somebody and witness to them and let them know how we love them and let them know the word is being preached and that time is running out and we're not looking to the White House for the answers. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, somebody would come to the house of God, get their heart right with God and sit on the bench and praise God with us. If we'd all have or bring our fruit into perfection. But that on the good ground are they which is in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Where are we at today, honey? Do we have patience for anything? I got a call this week from one of mine, and they said, I'm just not patient. I don't want to wait for it. Leave me alone. Go do what you say. You don't want to wait on me. I'm old and slow. I may not move today. Go do what you say.
Amen.
Come on, church. They're out there pushing us and telling us what we're going to do. Tell us where we're going. That ain't the word of God. We're not setting an example.
Amen. It
needs to be set in our churches today.
Amen.
God's got to be first.
Amen.
God's got to be first. Let me read on down. I need to go on down into 22. Just a little bit right here. And he said, and the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. That's when we do communion foot washing. And the chief priest and the scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They didn't fear Jesus. They feared the people. They were afraid that they would lose their seat in office. It's the third verse. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Issachar,
yes,
being of the number of the 12. But we today don't think Satan can enter in to us. Jesus just had told us, this is in red writing up there. He said, don't be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this world. I read it in Luke 8 about the riches of this world and the pleasures and the things of this world. Jesus just had told us this, and there sit Judas and the other 11 together as they done the Passover, and they eat bread and took supper with Jesus, amen. And he gave them this teaching right here, and lo and behold, Judas went out and opened up a door because that he wanted recognition. Because that he wasn't satisfied with just being a disciple of Jesus. He wanted a little more. He wanted to fit in with Jesus, and he wanted to fit in the world. Come on, church, if that's where we're at today, we want to fit in with the world and fit in with Jesus. So Judas said he opened up a door. Satan knew that he wanted to fit in. He knew that he could be used to kill the darling son of God. Satan knew that Judas had a weak point. Judas was a treasure. So he was trusted with the money. He was numbered with the 12. He was one of them. And he said, and Satan entered in to Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being a number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. He left eating supper with Jesus. Come on, church. He left eating supper with Jesus and went out and communed with the world to tell them how we could work it out that we could kill the Lord. Can I tell you the same things we was talking about it with my sister there Wednesday night about a church that a man hadn't been in a year and a half to church. And the little church was growing. I was helping them some years ago. And they come in unbeknownst to the main church. Hadn't been in a year and a half. And they come in, it's wrote down in the minutes. And how they cut off the Spirit of God. Stopped the young people from working. And said, we ain't going to do nothing. And now we're running 10 or 12. Now we're running 10 or 12. I wonder why, when you ain't been to church in a year and a half, have you got a right to vote? Have you got a right to go to the kingdom of God? Have you got a right, amen, to say anything? I tell you what we've got a right to is to hit an old-fashioned altar, get our sins under the blood, and show God that we want to be a soldier for the glory of God. We're willing to fight the battle. There's too many things today and too many cares of this world that's eat us up, glory to God, till we're not spiritual anymore. Amen. I'm going to tell you why I ain't spiritual to some of you. I've been here too long.
Bless
you, Lord. Been here too long, getting rotten around the stone. You've heard everything that I need to say.
Everything that you need to hear. I done said it all. And he said in the fifth verse, and they were glad. Ain't this just like church people today? I've been in church problems. I've seen them bust down to 7. I remember as a little boy and me lost and undone without God, the troubles that happened up the road in the church. You don't forget them things. Amen. I remember when my buddy got his jaw slapped. I remember when the preacher ran off with a woman. Amen. I remember when trouble come to the house of God. Amen. But it said, look here. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. They said, we'll take care of you. We'll give you money, Judas. Oh, the devil had done entered into him. And there they stood everywhere. We'll talk to you about this. We'll help you find a way in. We'll give you money. We'll do whatever it takes. You'll be one of us. Come on, church. We're coming to a point in this message. Listen to what we're saying. And he said in the sixth verse, and he promised. Judas promised. He said, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to bring him into your hands. This is the darling son of God. And we say we don't do this. Listen to us, church. If we ain't careful, we go make a promise, amen, that we ain't going to serve God. We go make a promise we ain't coming back. We ain't going to do no more. We need to pick up our jobs and do it wholeheartedly. If I could have my fleshly way, I wouldn't be preaching this morning. My heads are doing that right there. My heads are spinning in every direction. Don't feel sorry for me. Bless God, I'm trying to do God's work, God's will. And he promised, and he sought. Look at this. And he sought. Turn 2 pages. And he sought opportunity to destroy, to betray him and to them in the absence of the multitude. You think he wasn't a hypocrite? Satan entered into it.
Amen.
You think he wasn't two-faced? Satan entered into it.
Right.
So he saw opportunity. from the multitude. Why? Because he feared the multitude just like the people.
Amen.
He was a stinking, backslidden
Amen.
Disciple.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Amen.
The one I need.
You go over in the next chapter, maybe 27 of Matthew, and we can read. For Judas, hanging himself.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to bring every word of this out, but we can find where these people, they went back and Judas said, I don't want this money.
Uh-huh.
You see, he messed up. He woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. He gave it to them. Threw it down on the ground.